Y'all pray for our creative team because they got too much time on their hands making me into a video game character. I'm offended. Welcome to Seacoast Church. We are so glad that you're here with us today. And we know every single time we gather, the presence of God is here. And it's going to be amazing today. You're going to be sitting in this room and some way, somehow, not by my preaching or my eloquence, but by the Spirit of the living God, he's going to speak directly to your situation. We've got two quick announcements before we get into our brand new series this weekend, Level Up. One is this: if you're new around these parts and you want to find a way to get more involved, after each service at our different locations, we've got something called Next Steps. This is the way you can get more involved here by joining a team, getting in a small group, getting your questions answered about Seacoast, how to make a big church feel small. Go to Next Steps. Your host will tell you more about that in the close. And then also, many of us have seen the devastation through Hurricane Melissa, and we just want to let you know, because of your consistent giving, we were able to deploy $25,000 to Water Mission International. And they're actually on the ground right now making sure people have fresh water and the hope of Jesus Christ. And if you want to help with those relief efforts, you can text RELIEF to 32320 and help us help people around the world. Today, we kick off a brand new series called Level Up. Level Up. The world is looking for light. The world is looking for Jesus, and they're looking at you as their personal Billy Graham. Do you know that you're Billy Graham for someone? Yes. Kind of scary. Put down the cigarette. Do you know that there are people that will never read a Bible unless they see its words lived out in your life? The enemy's got a prescription for us. It's called comfort, complacency, self-centered thinking, small-worldedness. And before you know it, we start snuffing out the very light we're called to give to this world. So think about like this series for the next few weeks, like one of Paul's letters to the church. You know, like kind of love, a little bit of a punch in the face every once in a while, live better, do better, get purer. You know, expect God for bigger things, push past your comfort. And today, we're going to be talking about promotion. I want to confront where you believe opportunity comes from. Opportunity comes from the heart of God and the stewardship with what's in our hands. And if we understand those two things, we will see God work in our lives in a new way. So today, the title for our talk for the next few minutes is called this: Promotion of the Secret Place. It's in the secret place that God often moves. Y'all remember that show, Undercover Boss? I love that show because I loved watching someone treat the CEO like they were nothing, and then they get caught. It's in the unseen places that God moves. I love watching viral videos of when people don't think there's a camera and they start acting crazy, and then you're like, ooh, that got caught on tape. It's the unseen places where people find out who you really are. It's the unseen places where you actually build your faith. It's the unseen places where God starts to speak to you like never before. What if the opportunity of a lifetime came from the unseen place? Starbucks just hired a new CEO this year, and I realized that as much as I'm on LinkedIn, that never came up as a suggested job opportunity for me. I mean, I go to Starbucks, I go to $5, I go to $10 all the time, and when I go in there, they didn't say now hiring CEO of Starbucks. Why? Because the greatest opportunities of life are invite only. And what if we could understand that God wants to invite you into the opportunity of a lifetime, but it only is found in the secret place? If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. If you have the Seacoast app, the notes are on there as well. We're going to be 1 Kings 19, then we're going to flip over to John chapter 7. Father, we thank you for your word. Preach better than I ever could. In Christ, we pray. Amen. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. The Lord told Elijah, hey, man, I love you as prophet of Israel. Your time's up. Go anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat. Oftentimes, the purpose that God has for us is seasonal. And he'll move us from season to season when we stay connected to his heart. But comfort will make us try to make a seasonal gift permanent. You keep trying to treat your kids like they're 8 years old, but they're 25. Nah, you're in a different season of parenting. Come on, somebody. You still out there trying to work like you're 34 and you're 65. You're in a different season, my guy. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. One ox is expensive. Two is even more expensive. But 12 pairs of oxen? Man, Elisha was doing good. He wasn't just like a Mount Pleasant farmer. You know, like you got five chickens and you think you're doing something. Like, he's doing some real work. He actually had a big truck and he used it for real work. He actually had muscles, but they did something with it. It just wasn't for show, it was for go. You ever ask a buff friend to help you and then the back start hurting? What good is that? Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elijah went to him and gave him the offer letter for prophet of Israel. God would elect kings to lead his people, but he elected prophets to keep them in check. The prophet of God was a bad dude because he had a Bible in one hand and a bloody sword in another. And he was just there to be a tool for whatever God told him to do. So sometimes that meant prayer, and sometimes that meant literally going Old Testament. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come to you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen, the two he was working with, and slaughtered those two. He burned the plowing equipment because he wasn't going back. He cooked the meat on it and gave it to the people, and then they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. All right, think about that scripture for a second. We'll come back to it. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Flip over the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Or just scroll, because none of y'all got your Bibles today. You came to church without a Bible. Minus 5 points. John chapter 7, verse 3. We see Jesus talk to a lot of people in scripture. We see him talk to people who are hurting, people who are demon-possessed, people who are outcast, people who are prominent. We see him talk to religious leaders. See him talk to his opponents. But this is a conversation he had with his own brothers. You don't see them pop up a whole lot in scripture. So his brothers see all the stuff Jesus has been doing his whole life. And now they got some PR advice for the Son of God. They see what he's trying to do, and they're trying to, quote, help him out by helping him get promoted. Jesus' brother said to him, leave Galilee and go to Judea. There's a big festival there, an eight-day festival where they celebrated what God did in the wilderness. Big festival, everyone's there, and they're like, hey, man, why are you hanging out here in Galilee? You need to get out of here. Leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do. Because you got to see it to believe it, right? You on the PR tour of the God of the universe loves you, they got to see it. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. If you want to be a public figure, you got to do it public, right? You got to do it in a way where everyone can see it. Perception is reality. You got to look the part to be the part. You got to be by the right people, hang out the right way, drive the right car, live in the right neighborhood, join the right country club, hang out with the right people, put your kids in the right school. You got to do it right so you can help everybody. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. The Bible says this, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. Isn't it funny how they had all sorts of advice for Jesus, but they didn't believe in Jesus? Not everyone who has got good advice for you believes in you. Therefore, Jesus told them, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. What do you say? I didn't come here to be a political figure. I didn't come here to make them like me in public. I didn't come here to do these miracles as if it's a God magic show. I didn't come here to entertain them. I came to save them from their very sin. The stuff that they even like. You go to the festival. I'm not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come. My time has not yet fully come. Jesus was so obsessed with the right timing because he understood that the right thing at the wrong time can equal being a wrong thing. After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee.
Timing.
There's a lie we believe in our culture. If I don't take this opportunity now, I'll miss it. Says who? Says the perception of the world. Nah, baby, I know we got four kids right now, and I know they're all small, but I gotta take this travel job, because if I don't take it right now, I'll miss out the opportunity to be a director, and when I'm a director, it'll be easier then. And then when I get there, then we'll be able to slow down, and then before you know it, you're a grandfather looking back at the time that you missed because you were so convinced that you had to take that opportunity in the right time because you were walking under the promotion of what the world says. In the economy of God, he sets the time.
After he said this, he stayed in Galilee. Check this out, though. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he also went, but not in public, but in secret.
How many times do you see Jesus tell someone after he heals them, don't tell anybody? How many times did he tell us not to give or to pray public facing, but in secret? It's the secret place where God promotes. And so I want to share with you four areas to reframe where you think opportunity comes from. So where does promotion come from, Joel? Promotion starts with stewardship. Promotion starts with
stewardship. 1 Kings 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Wait, Elisha didn't apply for the opportunity of a lifetime. God brought it to him. David didn't apply to be king of Israel. The opportunity found him. Even when the opportunity came to his house, he wasn't there. He was in the middle of a field doing his job, and the opportunity came to him. Moses was just doing his job when he saw a burning bush and God came to him. Gideon was threshing wheat in the middle of the night, just doing his thing, and the angel of the Lord had an air tag on him and found him there. The disciples were just doing what they were doing when the Son of the Living God didn't find them in a synagogue, didn't find them in a seminary, but he found them in the marketplace. God knows where you're at. But when we steward what's in our hands, that's when God oftentimes blesses us with the opportunity of more. Level up in our stewardship of unseen places. This is a mop and a bucket. Nothing special about it, but whenever I see it, I see a sacred object. When my dad and mom got pregnant with me, my dad was struggling to find work. He was a new immigrant to the States, and his qualifications as a detective didn't really qualify him for what he could do here. And so he had to start over. And so he bought a small cleaning company. And so when he bought the cleaning company, he saw himself as an entrepreneur. Bought this from this really weird couple in San Diego. I remember going to meet them, and they're like wild people. But my dad bought it from them, and he saw this as an opportunity to feed his family in an honest way. I never heard my dad grumble about owning a cleaning company. He saw this as an opportunity to serve his family. I was an only child, but by the time I was 18, I had 22 of my cousins come and live with me because we had our family's boot camp. If you were going the wrong way, you went and spent some time with Uncle Leon in sunny San Diego. And my dad was the boot camp of our family. Oh, you got a boyfriend that's, you know, getting you a little distracted? You're gonna go see Uncle Leon for a few months. Oh, you found out what drugs were? And you think you're gonna do this here? You're gonna go see Uncle Leon. You're struggling with purpose in your life and you don't know how to find a job? Go see Uncle. We had people flying in all the time. I got cousins who are retiring from jobs that my dad said, you gotta go get today. But here's the crazy part. The promotion of purpose for him meant that externally, people just saw him as the janitor. And you know what happens when you're the janitor? People look the other way. But my dad could see the opportunity of a lifetime because he was faithful with stewarding what's in his hands, and God gave him more. Promotion often requires sacrifice. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became a servant. We need to level up in our giving up of good things. Of good things. Sometimes as Christians, because we receive the greatest gift of all, salvation, without any strings attached, we get a little shook when anything looks like sacrifice. That's why people leave a church when the church starts talking about money, huh? We love the lights, we love the rooms, but when we learn that there's a group investment in the movement of God, we're like, oh man, that church just wants our money. Ugh. Or
We walk up to a Kids Coast room, huh? And we see them incredible volunteers serving. And we look the other way, drop our kids and run. Somebody else should serve in there. We're sitting in the parking lot losing our salvation, huh? And you see those two parking volunteers smiling their best, and you're like, someone should figure out the systems. I'm a systems engineer, and this could be more efficient. Well, join the team and help us. And oftentimes, we are running from what God is inviting us into because it looks like sacrifice. Jesus tried to get a 13th disciple. He knew what Judas was all about. Boo, Judas. And he said, I'm gonna try to get this guy. He's young, he's good looking, he's rich. And when he went to the rich young ruler couldn't see the opportunity of a lifetime because it cost him something. Elisha saw the slaughtering of his oxen and the burning of his plowing equipment as an opportunity, not a sacrifice. Level up in the giving up of good things. I'll hear single dudes. I'll pick on single guys for a second. I talk to single guys and they're like, hey, I'm trying to find a girl. What you looking for? Man, I'm just looking for a cool girl. I just need a chill girl, you know, just chill. I can't get a girl too uptight. Can I tell you guys something? There's no such thing as a chill girl. She's lying to you, or you're being hunted and you don't even know yet. And so the moment she starts asking some things from you, if you see that as an obstacle, oh, she's not that chill, you may be depriving yourself as an opportunity of a lifetime. Second date with Kelly Delph. Hey, man, what are you dreaming about in 10 years? She had a marketing degree. She was doing stuff in the corporate world. I thought I was going to hear her talk about all this stuff. She's like, just to be honest with you, I want to have a big family. I want to have 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls, and I want to stay at home with them. Just put it on the table. Second date. No chill. Doing too much. But you know what? Because she was actually honest with who she was, I didn't see that as a sacrifice. Come on, somebody. 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls, homeschool. Sourdough tastes great, by the way. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God help me. The worst part is I got all sorts of stuff I want to say, but I can't say because y'all start booing. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if y'all are. Promotion requires service. So sacrifice is what we give up to step into what God's called us to. Service is seeing lowly things as an opportunity for God to move. Here's this business owner owning 12 yoke of oxen, starting out as an intern. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his intern, 1 Kings 19. The posture of a servant is actually the starting point of real leadership. But if we don't understand how to serve, then we may ruin the opportunity that's already in our hands. Level up in our ability to serve, even when it feels lowly. Touch your neighbor and tell him, you got to get low. Ba-da-dum, bum, bum. Ba-ba-da, ba-da-da. You got to get low with it. And if your mom knows that song, ask your mom, how you know that song? And if she's bobbing her head, say, Dad, how did you really meet mom? Just ask her. We got to serve. We got to serve. Where are all the in-laws in the house, like the moms and dads? Can I tell you something? When my in-laws come in town, I get excited. I get excited. This is grandparent 101. You want to get promoted into being a great grandparent? I'm going to tell you how. Serve. So my in-laws have taught me over 15 years that when they come to serve. By the way, they're marriage and family therapists. They know what's messed up in my marriage. They know all the stuff. But you know what? They don't come, hey, I'm gonna fix you because I know some stuff. They come humbly to serve. And because they find ways to get low, when they speak, we listen. When they speak, we listen. And they got access. When they call, our kids fight over it. But they don't call and start bashing. Why don't you guys call more? It'd be nice to have a call from my kids every once in a while. Well, if that's all they hear, why are they going to pick up the phone when you call? We're getting quiet now. All right, I'll swing it the other way. Hey, if you have parents that are alive, wave at me. Okay. Ooh, a lot of y'all. Okay. Can I just tell you something? Do not treat your parents like you're 13 when you're 45. At some point, you need to level up in understanding, ooh, I have an adult responsibility to love my parents and serve them. At some point, you have to shift the dynamic and say, how do I serve them? You know what is the longevity study that doesn't come from red lights or cold plunges or rucking, but it comes from the actual word of God? Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the earth. You out here trying to run all day, and all you need to do is honor your parents, and you'll live just fine. But that means serving people who have served you. So that means sometimes, I don't know, respecting them instead of fighting for respect like a little 13-year-old kid. Getting quiet in here. Man, I love when God fills me with stuff to say for y'all. I may eat alone today, but I know I was faithful. Promotion comes from the secret place. Promotion comes from the secret place. Jesus, in an argument with his brothers, fought for the secret place. He understood that to change the world, he needed to serve the world, not just in public, but in secret. Jesus was that guy that did the turning of the water into wine at a big wedding. He was that guy that multiplied fishes and loaves. He was that guy that sat everyone down on a hillside and taught them about the kingdom of God. But then he also was that guy that would meet a woman one-on-one at a well and give her hope that changed her life. He was that guy that would heal a man and say, "Don't tell anybody anything." He was that guy that oftentimes would withdraw to lonely places where he got his next assignment from his heavenly father. Can I tell you something? Our faith with Christ, our walk with God, is a dichotomy of two areas. It's intensely communal. We need it. Do not forsake the habit of meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing. That's what the Bible says. We need to be around other believers. Iron sharpens iron. We need a group of people who love us, but who are impressed with us, who can speak truth into our life even when we don't want to hear it. But then we also need to know how to live in the secret place. How to live in silence and solitude. That was 5 seconds of silence, kind of uncomfortable, huh? Sitting in silence is one of the ways we hear God. Sitting alone with him. Not worship music blazing, turn it off, try it. Not podcast blazing, turn it off. Yeah, you can listen to that guy some other day. You can get that study some other time, but just being alone in his presence with his holy word, crying out to him. You know what happens when you get silent? He starts talking. He's actually always talking, but we don't make time to be silent in the presence of God. So we're looking for every other area to get opportunity, see progress, growth in our life. But 1 hour over here can change everything. Change everything. God started speaking to me about ministry. Not in my Bible study. Shouts out Dan Sekovac, who's in the front row.
We've been friends since 2007. An amazing man of God. He's an incredible Bible teacher. He's an architect by trade. But God didn't speak to me with him. I took over my dad's cleaning company because he got real sick. And it was in the quiet, unseen place that God started speaking to me. It was in the secret place that God started speaking to me that he may have something in me to give to others. But I didn't like speaking out loud. I didn't like talking to groups of people because I'm like, I don't know how to like command a whole room of people. I just want to talk to one person at a time. I just want to go to lunch with Andrew and talk to him. I just want to go to lunch with Mike and talk to him. I just want to go have lunch with Kyle, talk to him. I just want to do a one-on-one. And God said, well, how about you figure out how to be faithful with what I've given you, and then I'll dictate the size. In the quiet place, God called me into ministry in a big church. I hated big churches because I was like, oh man, I would never work at a big church. Hey guys, how y'all doing? What's happening to campuses? But God said, yeah, that's right. I know you don't care about the size. That's why I'm going to put you there. And sometimes the things that you think are parameters with how God can move, they're just lies. It's just your fear talking. It's just your bitterness speaking. But it's in the secret place where God confronts some stuff with you. I was hanging out with a bunch of leaders the other week, and we were out in this amazing campground, and we were challenging guys to go out on walks alone with God. And this one guy came running up to me, and he was like, hey, Joel! But he didn't say it like when he was like 10 feet away, so it would be like, oh, hey, what's going on? He said it like half a mile away awkwardly, so I had to wait 5 minutes while he, you know, 45-year-old jogged over, and I'm like, oh, this is awkward. What's going on? And he goes, hey, God just spoke to me. I was like, yeah, you did, because you got alone with him. What if getting alone with God was your superpower? What if 2026 was the year you leveled up how you got alone with God? Father, we thank you that promotion comes from your heart. Opportunity comes from the throne of heaven. Would you shape in us an understanding of your timing, an understanding of how to steward what's in our hands, an understanding of sacrifice as an opportunity, not an obligation, that serving can actually be an awesome promotion. Bless us today. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,